I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset, your place for news, politics, and more. When was the last time you went to one of Chicago's two major airports and thought, gee, that process was so easy? Well, if it's been a while, you're not alone. A recent survey found both O'Hare and Midway airports ranked below the national average in customer satisfaction. It asked about things like security checks, baggage claim, and the food at the terminals. So are Chicago airports losing their edge? And how can they do better? Joining us to dig into the survey's findings is Michael Taylor, practice lead for travel intelligence at the consumer research firm J.D. Power. Michael, what qualities do the highest ranking airports have in this survey?
Well, J.D. Power looks at six factors. I think you mentioned them at the top, everything from getting to the airport to claiming your bag. And the most important, the two most important are the actual physical building itself. What is the airport like? Are there things to do? Is the gate area comfortable? Are the bathrooms clean? Does the Wi-Fi work really well? Second biggest one is actually getting to the airport. How easy is it to get to the airport campus and get into the building and get away from the airport campus once you've claimed your bag or left your flight?
And what about the lowest ranking airports?
The lowest ranking airports generally are the older airports that have a lot of construction planned in the next few years, as in construction with a B, as in billions. And that certainly applies to O'Hare. O'Hare was a great idea when it was first built, I believe, in the mid-'80s, and I was living in Chicago at the time, and I recall the how cool the building was. But now, with the number of people that go through O'Hare, the airport is fantastically underserves those number of passengers. It's just simply not big enough or designed to handle the number of passengers it currently handles now.
I see. So O'Hare rose up one spot from being dead last in 2021. Which of the six factors did they get the lowest marks on?
Oh, gosh. Almost, I'd hate to say this, but almost all of them.
Wow. That bad,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and that's generally something we see when an airport is scheduled to, you know, have major renovation. The analogy I use is that if you were going to tear down your house, you wouldn't put a new roof on it. And that's exactly what happens with almost every airport that's scheduled for major renovation. And as I said before, they're planning $8.5 billion worth of renovations to O'Hare. So that's one of the reasons why it just doesn't perform as well, and that's going to that's something that's very typical for airports that are slated for either demolition or for major renovation.
And so I noticed when I was looking at your survey, O'Hare is in a different category than Midway. Can you talk about how the airports are categorized for this?
Yeah, sure. It's very easy. We call O'Hare's category the mega airport category. Mm-hmm. And those are airports that have 33 million passengers or more per year that go through them. And they have different problems and different performances versus airports that are smaller. And so we categorize them because the way that they handle passengers and the issues that they encounter, passengers encounter at these different sized airports are quite different among the three categories that we measure.
Mike, let's jump to the phones real quick and hear from Chris in Kankakee. Hey, Chris, welcome to Reset.
Hey, thank you for having me.
What are your thoughts?
So I fly regularly out of O'Hare, Denver, Cleveland, all over the country for work. And although I'm not a Chicagoan, I'm originally from Ohio, I noticed that O'Hare seems to be relatively fluid. Even when lines are quite long, it seems like things are moving pretty good. Signage, in my opinion, is pretty good. The only thing I wish would be changed is perhaps on certain walkways or certain elevators, escalators, things like that. They had a walking side and standing side. Sometimes you get traffic jams with individuals that tend to stand on the moving walkways. But compared to Denver, I find that their signage, especially as a mega airport, as your previous speaker mentioned, is a little less organized, in my opinion.
So it's the signage. Thank you for calling, Chris. Good point. Signage, Mike, it's really important when you're in a rush and trying to catch the next flight, right?
Yeah, I could probably talk for the rest of the day on airport signage.
Signage is a big deal.
But it's one of my pet projects. Yes, what happens normally with airports when their signage package, as they're called, degrades just because they've added things to the airport. And really, once you do that, you really have to start from ground zero to make sure that your signage, you know, is logical and you have a sign at every decision point. And that's generally the biggest problem with airport signage is you'll see a sign somewhere in the airport to say to rental car area. And then you'll get to a decision point, like a new hallway or a new concourse, and there won't be a sign there because someone, once they built that part of the airport, neglected to think about, oh, you know, we need to be consistent in our signage from the origin point, which is usually the gate, to wherever that passenger wants to go.
Right, right. We know Chicago's airport score drops. It's reflecting a nationwide trend. What happened, especially over the last few years?
Well, basically, there are far more passengers at the airports than there were a year ago. Granted, we're coming out of that COVID period. And in the J.D. Power survey, the highest satisfaction scores we've ever seen in the airport study were during the height of COVID because there's no one in the terminals. And it's just easier to navigate an airport when there's no one there. You're parked closer. There are fewer lines at TSA. It takes 5 minutes to load an airplane with only 25 passengers on it. However, that is not a successful business model for airlines or airports. So as we've added more people, we expected to see satisfaction go down, and that's exactly what's happened in the last 2 years.
We invited the Chicago Department of Aviation's Commissioner Jamie Reed to join us for the conversation, but she was not available. But in a written statement, her department said, quote, "The passenger experience is top of mind at O'Hare and Midway every single day. Several of the airport's concessionaires, especially smaller, diverse firms, are facing the same hiring challenges common throughout the travel and hospitality industries," end quote. And it goes on to discuss plans to help them staff up ahead of this upcoming holiday season. Mike, how long do you think these hiring challenges will last at these airports?
Well, I tell you, it's a mystery to almost everybody I talk to. But no one sees an end to in sight to this. There's going to have to be some economic, macro force that comes to bear to get people to say, okay, I want to take that entry-level job or a job that's, got different hours or a location job like an airport. So it's hard for almost everybody I talk to see the end of this thing. It will eventually end. We'll eventually have some kind of economic reckoning that will motivate people to take these jobs, whether that's a higher wage offered by the employers or some other economic issue that comes up.
Let's jump to the phone lines. Here we've got Mark in Old Irving Park. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. What do you think about our airports? Are you a fan or not?
I think they're both great in many ways. I just picked up a friend at Midway an hour ago.
Okay.
And whereas at O'Hare, when you pick someone up on the lower level, they have the numbers out so you can see them for the door that the person walked out of. For example, Terminal 1 United, it'll be 1A, 1B, 1C, or whatever. And you can see it out at that lane. At Midway, that's not the case. They have the door number the person walks out of clearly marked back at the original terminal. But from three lanes out, you can't see those numbers. And if there's a bus in the lane between, you clearly can't see them. It was amusing in a chaotic way, but we were both pretty perturbed.
You found your sister, which is good. I'm happy, Mark. But yes, Mark's bringing up that same point. It's the signage, right? Mike, it goes back to the signs.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, again, airports in the United States are pretty much in turmoil under, a lot of pressure to renovate or do the construction.
Yeah.
And again, it's the same thing. If you're going to tear up a roadway or redesign the airport, you're not going to put up a new sign.
Yeah, for
sure.
And
so that does cause some problems.
And I think Rick's got something to say about signage as well. Rick from Highland Park is with us now. How you doing?
Yes, hi, thanks.
What do you think?
Recently traveled through O'Hare, as I do quite often, and it always amazes me how terrible the rideshare signage is, the location. It's all jumbled together. You have to walk times two terminals to get to your Uber.
Oh, I can't stand that walk.
It's impossible to find the signage, and it's at night. The whole area is so dimly lit, you don't know where you are, and there's people everywhere. So simple little things like increase the lighting, have better signage. When the directional signage for Uber, for example, is on a decal on the floor of the terminal that is packed with people.
Yeah.
You can't see the decal. What is the point? It's not rocket science.
Yeah, I totally get you, Rick. Rick reminded me of my hate for, you know, calling for a rideshare from O'Hare. The green zone, orange zone setup, that's just not working. It's quite frustrating. Let's hear from Rona in Lakeview. Hi, Rona. What are your thoughts on O'Hare Airport?
My big complaints are about getting there. Getting there by car is a nightmare. I will not pick people up at O'Hare because it is such a nightmare, so unreliable. Getting there by CTA is insecure. And parking at O'Hare is awful. I traveled in March and I drove because I thought that would be the smartest thing to do. Well, that was a mistake. Not only was the drive awful, but the only place, but I kept getting misled about where I could park. And the only place I ended up finding a spot was in a tow zone. And I prayed
wow.
the whole time that when I turned on Saturday night, my car would still be there, which it was, fortunately.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, you share my frustration, Rona. Getting there is a nightmare. And when I park there, just the rigmarole of getting that shuttle bus to get back to the parking lot, it's just a headache I never want. Mike, did the survey ask folks specifically what they thought would increase their satisfaction?
Oh, well, we do a lot of analysis to find out what people want in satisfaction. The biggest thing they want is better access, which your last two callers have been talking about.
Yeah.
That's one of the bigger things that could be improved. Again, with so many people accessing airports these days, just getting to the airport is one of the bigger hassles. The second biggest, second most important factor that could be improved in the airport in the airports across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that your person mentioned, one of the callers mentioned, was parking.
Yes.
Because there's more leisure travel, leisure travelers accessing the airport, they tend to, A, drive their own cars more often and park, and they tend to park longer. And this is filling up lots across the United States.
You can hardly find a spot.
You
can hardly find a spot. And sometimes you can hardly find a spot. And sometimes I wonder, have these cars been here for a month?
Right. They're there longer than they normally would be versus previous years. But if you're in Orlando is like 98% full as far as their parking lot goes. Several airports, in my home airports, I live in the New York area, I live in Connecticut. It used to be that O'Hare used to have the highest parking rate in the nation. Well, New York decided to do something about that, and they raised their daily rate to $75 a day if you don't prepay.
Wow.
To go to the airport. So if you just roll up, you're paying $75 to
not doing park that.
Next to the terminal, LaGuardia.
Yeah.
it's pretty astounding when you come to the, put your ticket back in the machine to get the receipt, and it says $150, and you've been gone for 36 hours.
I would have an immediate heart attack.
Well, yeah, and what they're trying to do there is trying to get people not to park at the airport and find alternative modes of transportation because they're filling up their lots so fast.
Interesting
stuff. Which seems kind of counterintuitive, but that's the way they're working it.
That's Mike Taylor, practice lead for travel intelligence at J.D. Power. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. So, you're quite welcome.
This episode of Reset was produced by Brenda Ruiz. It was mixed by Ethan Schwab. Enjoying the show? Then why don't you subscribe to our podcast? We have so many interviews and conversations for you to listen to. And don't forget to leave us a rating. It really helps other listeners find us. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll see you tomorrow.